Good to see everybody tonight. When I was thinking about those that were missing this morning, I just counted off the top of my head 10 that were out of town sick that I was usually here. Matter of fact, I just thought of another 11 that's missing that normally would be here. But good to see everybody here tonight. I've chosen to talk about tonight faith and trust. It's really a topic that we really maybe take for granted sometimes on what it takes to be a child of God. And not just to become one, but to remain a faithful child of God. And that is, it takes faith to do that. We're not here just because. I really liked what Mike said this morning in his prayer. And the fact that we have this opportunity. That we can draw strength from one another. And this was by design. God designed the church that we might draw from each other's strength. You might have a different strength than I do. And I might have a different strength than you do. But when we're together, we can be one. But it takes faith to do that. And tonight, and most if not all Sunday nights, I know the crowd I'm talking to. You're here because you want to be. You're here because you do have faith. But you know, we're told in Scripture that greater are we the faith that we have because we believe and have not seen. Can you imagine living in the first century and living around the place that Jesus was, when the miracles were being performed? Back even further in the Old Testament, when we see men being talked to by God personally. We don't have that. It's easy for us to talk to each other and draw strength from one another, but we believe what's written for us. And it takes faith to believe this. We're told it does. That's why it's called faith. In Hebrews 11th chapter, and in verse 1, it says, tells us what faith really is. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. There are so many things that we don't see. But we have faith that it exists. We are told that it takes oxygen to breathe. I don't know that. I just take that by faith that that's okay. We need oxygen and we have it. Here it is. Well, we don't see it. But we have faith that it exists. Because doctors tell us that we need oxygen to survive. It's the conviction of things not seen. And none of us can sit here tonight and say, well, I've seen God, because we haven't literally seen God. We haven't literally seen Jesus. We didn't see him hanging on the cross. But by faith, we believe those things. We believe that God exists. We believe that Jesus lived and died on the cross. And if we did not believe that, I would venture to say we would not be here tonight. It also says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There are lots of things that we hope for in life. We hope for good health. And some of us have better health than others. We just hope for better. Some, as they're growing up, hope to be taller. I remember Jonathan when he was little. He was the runt. He couldn't wait till he would grow, get taller. Well, he finally did. It was something he hoped for. Well, that hope was just that hope. He may have never gotten tall. we hope. We have a hope of eternal life in heaven. That's our hope. We're not assured anything in this life. I think we can probably safely say that most, if not all of us, here tonight, haven't always gotten what we want. Our hopes have not always been seen. But we hope for them anyway. We look at Hebrews 11th chapter, and we oftentimes call this the chapter of those that were faithful, the Hall of Fame of faith. God took special people throughout history and put them in this chapter for us to know and to understand. And we look at what Noah did in Hebrews 11th chapter in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, here we go, faith, okay? Yet not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God came to Noah and said, Noah, you're going to build an ark. And we go back to Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22, and gives us this ark building process. Noah, build an ark, it's going to rain. The world's going to flood. And we've seen floods, right? You've seen pictures, Florida, the Bahamas. Even here in Wisconsin, there are rivers that will overflow its banks. Right now on State Line Road, there are houses that are surrounded by water. I can't believe that they're still able to live there, but they do. It floods, the houses surrounded by water. So, but those are little things. When God told Noah, Noah, it's going to flood, the earth is going to flood, build an ark, and he tells them what to do, tells them what wood, how big to build it. And Noah says, okay, we'll build an ark. And we cannot fathom what that meant to Noah. If we were told today, build an ark, because it's going to flood, I would venture to say that most of us, like, you've got to be kidding. Think about it. The ark was a football and a half long, 3 stories high, 75 feet wide, I believe it is. You can check me later if you want to. But he didn't have Menards down the road to go order the lumber. He didn't have some builders with skill saws and cranes and all these things that we have today to build this huge, I want to call it a boat, but he calls it an ark. This was big. And by faith, Noah said, okay. And it was not an overnight process. He had faith in God that God said it's going to flood. That means the world is going to come to an end, and you and your family are the only ones that's going to be saved. Now, if Noah had didn't use the wrong thing, if he had went out and got some oak lumber or some pine or maple, that ark would have sank to the bottom. But that's not what Noah did. Noah built it to the specifications because he had faith in God that what God said would happen. And it took him a long time to build the ark. But by faith, he did it. Because he believed. By faith, in verse 17 in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, And he who received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. He was tested. Can you imagine God coming to you and, Kevin, you need to offer up your son as a sacrifice. And saying, okay. Can't imagine, can you? And it wasn't a baby. Remember the story that he actually, Abraham said, here's the lumber, here's the wood for the sacrifice, and you carry it. He was big enough to carry the wood. And we're going to go over yonder and we're going to sacrifice. And then I can see Jonathan, but Dad, where's the sacrifice? God will provide. That's faith. Being the only son. He was the promise. He was the promised son. But the faith that Abraham had was the fact that, okay, God said that through Isaac, this is the nation. And he's telling me to kill him. He must have a plan. I will follow it. And he did. Does our faith ever get challenged to that degree? I would venture to say, not yet. I know some of us have gone through some pretty scary times in our life and still are. I've been through a few scary times. And I know how that feels in a lot of different ways. At the age of 18, Dad being told, you have 6 months. I was 18. I wasn't ready to lose Dad yet. He wasn't a Christian. It's tough. I was, born with club feet, and thankfully things worked out great. In my case. Have there been challenges? Sure. Yeah. But we had to put our faith in God. And the nice thing about this faith and this trust, if we have what God expects us to have, if we live our lives with that faith intact, and we keep doing the right things, if we keep following Him, then whatever happens in this life, I know it's hard. I know there's tough times. But do we have faith in God that when it's all said and done, we're going home? I led a song this morning on purpose. This world's not my home. And we've seen that psalm realizing that our faith and our trust in God is taking us home in heaven. That's the faith that we have to live. It's the faith that we have to live every day. And when trials come, when tests come, I can't imagine having trials and tests like Noah and Abraham had here. Offering your son, building this incredible ark to be saved. But by faith, they did it. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Carl read this morning. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It goes back to the fact that we believe that this is God's word. I keep bringing this up. I know I have, and I probably will until I either forget it because I'm old and forgetful. But the lesson that Tom has preached a couple times because of my request about the planets and moons and stars and stuff that's out there. Some of you have been, quote, Trekkie fans, you know, Star Trek. And, yeah, all that's, I get it. There are no other people out there, no aliens, I get that. But one thing that does boggle my mind in Tom's lesson was the fact that there are things so far away from here, light years away, and people think that that just happened. No, by faith we realize that no, it didn't just happen. God in the beginning created. And how people can think that these moons and these stars and these planets just happen to end up in an orbit that they don't collide into each other is absolutely ridiculous. My son-in-law, who's coming to preach for us, he's big into those types of things. And he mentioned to me one day that galaxies, and we're in one galaxy, and there are other galaxies out there. Galaxies could cross each other, and there'd be very little, if anything, touch. That's big. That's how big galaxies are. And how much space is in between the Earth, the Moon, and all the other planets. I'm not going to try and name them all. All the other planets in our solar system. But yet it still takes faith. That God is the one that did that. God is the one that created those things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. Faith is a belief that we have to have if we're going to be pleasing to God, as we've already read. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and in verse 13, I often talk about this being the chapter of love. And at the end of that chapter, Paul writes that, but now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. See, love is greater than faith and hope. Because someday it will no longer be faith. Someday it will no longer be hope. It will be seen. It will be realized. When this life is over, it will no longer be considered faith. In Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Luke 17, verse 1. And he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks should come, but woe to him to whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should cause one of the little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What does that say about our faith? If the apostles living with Jesus, walking with him, seeing what he was doing, and they're asking him, please increase our faith. And Jesus talks about a faith that we just don't understand. Faith of a mustard seed? I know I've talked about this before. Mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds known to man. And it actually, a seed can cover, once grown, an acre of land. It can house birds. But the apostles are asking, increase our faith. Does that mean that maybe we need to increase ours? I would say, yeah. Faith always needs to be increased. If the apostles are asking for that, should we not want our faith increased? It is so easy when hard times come, when bad things happen, that's when our faith falters. And yet that's when we should let it bolster. We have to have more faith. We've known good people die young. Preachers of the gospel just die. Heart attacks. Cancer. You name it, something's happened. Car accidents. And people lose their faith over these things. Family members do. We can't let that happen. Faith is so important because once we lose our faith, as we've heard before, I did not know this until 2 weeks ago when I was in Sycamore. It was the last week. Last week in Sycamore. That Al was preaching. And I remember the statement, but it came from someone else. But I'm thinking maybe the originator was Leslie. And the statement was a short step on a long journey. That was the title of his lesson. I've been using that for years, but I've heard that in Zion from a member there that I've appreciated for years. But I'm not so sure that it originated from him anymore, since Al said it about his dad. But when we lose our faith, when we start to lose faith, that is a short step on a long journey. Because if we start questioning, why does God let this happen? Well, why did God let this? Why doesn't God do something? We don't need to be questioning God. But have faith in Him that He will take care of us. It might not be the way we want. It might not be the life we want. There might be some bad things still happen to us, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't care. We need to have faith in Him. And the faith really exists in the fact that we're going to heaven. This isn't home. This is not home. And it's unfortunate that the world around us, and even a lot of Christians, think this is home. But it's not. We may have to work, and we might have to keep up with the house, and we might have to do all these things because we live here. But this is not home. And I know we're not on vacation either. Increase our faith. We need to have the faith as that mustard seed. And I know, no matter, and I use this analogy, if we wanted, another passage talks about, you say to this mountain, you can move a mountain with your faith. I'm like, Jesus, God tells us we can do that, and yet, is there anybody here that believes that you have enough faith to tell a mountain to move and it would? How does that work? But that's what God says. And here's what I use. Give me enough dynamite and I'll move the mountain. God knows that we do not have the power to tell a mountain to move. But he's trying to use that analogy to let us know that faith is powerful. Faith can get us through a lot of things. It can get us through a lot of problems in life. In Matthew chapter 17, and in verse 20, Matthew 17 and verse 20, he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you." I don't know about you, but according to that, I don't have any faith. I'm saying that facetiously, if you will, because I realize, I believe that if God wanted that to happen, I can do that. But can any one of us imagine having faith to tell a mountain to move and it'll do it? Please increase our faith. The apostles asked that question, or asked for that to happen. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1, starting in verse 6, James 1, verse 6, beginning, "But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a troubled-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers falls off. And the beauty of his appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. We will have tough times. Talking with my mom and dad today, talking about children, grandchildren. I won't be around probably when they get older, when they may have children of their own. Can't imagine that, but that's what happens. And the life that they may have to live, the world they're going to have to live in because of what's going on in this world today. Ask in faith, not doubting. Does that mean that everything we ask for, God gives us? No. It's not what it says. But when we seek God, we need to ask in faith. And I do believe that God can and will do anything if it's His will. But God will do His will. He will do what's best, regardless of what the circumstances might be. In James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, James 5, verse 13 through 16, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him." Prayer offered in faith. Does that mean every time we pray for someone to get better, they will? No. Not what it says. But we must ask in faith. God is able if it is His will. In Hebrews 11th chapter and verse 6, which was read in the reading, we're told that without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. No matter what we do in life, if we do not have faith that God expects us to have, we can't please Him. We must have that faith. In Hebrews 11th chapter as well, we talk about all those that have lived by faith. And starting in verse 32 of Hebrews 11, he says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." People lost their lives for the cause of Christ. People lost their lives doing what God wanted them to do, both Old and New Testament alike. And we have to understand that we have to have that faith as well, that they endured. I do think today about those in other countries and what they endure and what they suffer. And I'm fearful of what might be coming to our country in days ahead, years ahead. Some of us might not live to see it. But why is it? Another lesson Tom taught. You know, there are some lessons that just kind of stick with you. That where the church began, there's no one left. Why is that? Torment, torture, killing, they're all gone. Families didn't survive. Therefore, God tells us to pray for our leaders. Pray that we have a quiet and tranquil life, that we might serve God as He wants us to serve. Psalms 56 and verse 11, he writes, "In God I put my trust." I know some of you probably have never thought of this, but every now and then it rears this ugly head in my mind. What would I do if I or my family was being tortured for the cause of Christ? For us to denounce our King, how would we endure? It's happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1 in verse 8. Beginning, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we were despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. See, it happened. And don't think it can't happen to us. We live in a country and we're free and we can come and go as we please. We can worship when we want. What would happen if we couldn't, by law, meet together? Would we meet anyway? Would we have the faith and trust in God? Where do you stand? Do you have the faith in God, the trust in Him that you ought to have? Do I? Do you have the faith of a mustard seed? When something in our lives go wrong, we need to take the opportunity to grow our faith, not question God why. Do we become stronger or weaker? God has promised us that He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. And I believe that's true of trials. God's not going to let something happen that we cannot get through. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested or tried beyond what you are able to bear. Everybody, as I've said before, has their story. If you haven't undergone a trial, you will. If you haven't been tested, you will. The time will come. And you'll have to make that decision. Am I going to trust in God? Am I going to have my trust in Him? And I'm going to get through this tough time. Didn't realize it until today. A little over 5 years ago was when I had the vocal cord surgery, of which after the surgery, going into surgery, I had no idea what was going to happen. Didn't know what was wrong. Didn't know if they were going to find something that they were going to have to remove, and I was not going to talk again, have a voice. Didn't know that. It's scary. I'll tell you, it was scary. And then there were 7 days of silence after that surgery. Don't talk, Kevin. You can't even try to talk. I'll see you in 7 days, and then we'll see what happens. Okay? You have to have faith in God. I was in the process of learning some sign language. Because I didn't know. Didn't know what was God's plan. So, tonight, I hope we can go away with realizing that it's possible to have the faith that God wants us to have. Life is not going to be easy. Life is going to be hard. Life can be tough. But this world is not my home. And we're all going to go someday. Some before others. And age has nothing to do with that. Because we don't know what's going to happen tonight. Question is, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to, do you have that faith and trust that when you go home tonight and kids are all in bed, you're ready for bed, and you put your head on your pillow? Are you confident that if tonight is your night, or if tonight is all of our nights, because we're not guaranteed that Jesus or God won't send His Son tonight. He could. Why not? I keep saying that. One day it might be true. I don't know. So are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat and give an answer? God, the Son, is going to be there, and He's going to judge us righteously. And where will we stand? If you're here tonight, you need to render obedience to the Word of God, or you haven't lived a life that you needed to live, and you need the prayers of the brother tonight. Make your life right as we stand and sing.